This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 120.
Did you want to do it in Roman numerals next? CXX?
CXX.
Look at that. You just took my word for it.
I know. I don't know. Probably just lied to me blatantly.
C is 100 for century.
Yeah, yeah. X is 10. 10. Another X is 10. Yeah. What did you watch this week?
What's your name? Your name's Mike?
It is. What's
your name's John.
Oh, nice. I don't think people know that yet.
Yeah, it's only been 120 episodes.
120 episodes. Our voices probably are not
distinct enough.
Distinct enough.
They're very similar.
That's not actually how you pronounce that word. So you know.
Did I put the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable? Yeah. So, here we have a podcast where we talk about stuff that we watched over the past week or so.
Yeah. I don't watch that much this week.
Okay.
How about you?
Yep.
Great.
Nice. See, right before we started this podcast, Mike was absentmindedly looking at his computer as usual, and he goes, I didn't really watch that much this week. And I go, oh, I did. I watched a lot. And he literally didn't even look up from his monitor. He went, great. Like, with so much disdain in his voice that I had to call him out on it. Like, God, John's going to be talking again. So, Mike, what'd you watch this week?
Stuff.
Yeah?
Things.
I'm guessing wrestling.
That's the problem. G1 tournament's going on. It's like a 3-hour show, 5 days a week. It's not really a problem. Absolutely amazing. But it leaves me little time to watch other stuff because I'm watching so much wrestling.
I see.
However, I did manage to eat down a bunch of Happy Endings because, damn, that show is funny.
That show is a miracle.
That show is very, very funny. So I finished the first season, and I took the painstaking time to watch it in order.
Yes.
It makes so much more sense in order.
It really does.
Because essentially, like, the first episode is them, her leaving him at the altar,
yep,
if you will. But they end up still being friends somehow.
Right.
But then the episode two, so they aired episode one when it was supposed to be episode one. And episode two, which continues to deal with that, you know, that's like episode 10 or something.
It was like episode 7, I think.
Yeah, but it was, but so episode two that they aired was supposed to be like episode 7 or whatever.
Right.
And so it just, so, it didn't make any sense.
Right, so if you watched it on TV, then episode two was like them getting along and being buddies. And
yeah.
You're like, how did this happen so fast?
But anyways, if you watch in order, it's great. Season two, there's only one episode out of order, so it's not worth going through the trouble for.
It really isn't. It's like a holiday episode type of thing.
Yeah, so it's a good standalone. It doesn't really affect the overarching storyline.
What a great show.
But, yeah, it's a pretty tremendously great show. Eliza Coop is awesome. And it's funny because, like, my first experience to her was as Joe on Scrubs.
Right.
And
then Scrubs Med School.
Right. Yeah, whatever.
Big thumbs
but
down.
Still, she was great on that show as being like the very cold-hearted, non-empathetic, just, yeah.
When her and Drew got into a relationship, it was fun. You know, like, she's like, oh, yeah, I decided we were in a relationship 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you, like, see a flashback where she's, like, done sleeping with him and she's picking up his pants and going to take his wallet. She goes, ah, hell with it. And he's like, you were going to rob me? I was going to, but I didn't.
Yeah, because I found out I liked you.
Yep.
So in this show, her character was completely different. Her and her relationship with Damon Wayans Jr. It's awesome. And he's not like your macho guy by any means.
No. But he does it well.
Yes, he pulls it off well, being into scented candles and rom-coms and whatever. But I think my favorite episode is when his dad came to town, and it opens the door, and it's Damon Wayans Sr.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah! Because it was perfect.
And then his dad's just like Jane.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I just, the show's great.
It really is. I love it.
But I've watched, I don't even know, 8, 9, maybe 10 episodes of season 2 now.
Nice.
I just kind of, I put it on to kind of be a background show, but then I end up watching it very thoroughly, so it's not really a background show.
Have you had the Speakeasy episode yet?
The Speakeasy
episode. You'd know it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Then. Yeah, I don't think so.
That's a good one.
Okay. I mean, I do, there was one where they went where, oh God, when Penny was dating the hipster. That was... It was hilarious.
It was. Yes.
It was hilarious. But anyways, so I watched quite a bit of that.
Excellent.
And I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. But I've watched some other stuff. I finished up Cloak and Dagger.
I did as well.
I thought that was really good.
I thought that was better than really good.
I was actually genuinely surprised how much I enjoyed the show overall.
Me too. Like, more and more with each episode. The episode right before this, which was technically last week's episode.
Yeah. No, honey, we went over that. I don't work on the nights I have you anymore. I have you on my days off.
Oh.
Yeah.
You do? So you never.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay.
Right.
Okay, hug. Go to bed.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. So the episode from the week before.
Stripped.
Pain in small children. Yeah. That's your daughter, and you're laughing at her pain.
Well, because it's funny.
So we had the whole episode was based around the teacher talking about the hero's journey and how heroes can hit, like, a bad point when they regress. You know, the hero regresses. And he kept... His speech to the class overlaid most of the episode, which was really cool.
They've done that a few times, like, how they've had... And I don't know if it's... It's just, the themes. Like, you talked about, like, the first time we meet O'Reilly and she never talks.
Right.
In that first episode we see her.
Which is really hard to explain to somebody else, by the way, because I know I explained it to you and you were like, huh? And then I was trying to explain it to Petrie the other day, and he's just like, "What? So why wasn't she talking?" I'm like, it's just the direction they went to.
It's just what she was doing, Yep. But it was done so well.
Yeah.
And I know I'm jumping ahead, but in the final episode, we'll get to it.
Yeah.
We'll get to it. Anyway, so episode 9.
Episode 9, it was all about the heroes basically feeling that they had, you know, been thwarted. Because, you know, Tyrone, he thought that his brother's killer was now going to be taken in. Because they had a recording of him saying, "I did it." Which was a beautiful way that they got it.
Oh, no. The way they did it, with him pretending to be his brother and using his cloak abilities to zap out before he can get shot and zap back in. Yeah, it was great. And they got that...
So they had the confession. They were all excited. And then O'Reilly, like you said, you know, she went home and found her boyfriend chopped up in her fridge. And then Tandy goes home and finds that there's an assassin holding her mother hostage. So, and at the same time, Tyrone is now being hunted by the police.
Yeah. Like,
by the end of it, basically, they knew that they were screwed. And they both kind of went down dark paths. You know, Tandy went back to drugs. She was like, hell with this. I tried to do good, and I'm just going to go back to my old ways. Tyrone was like, why did I even bother? His mother was like, why did you do this? You were a black kid with a recording of a white cop saying he killed a black kid. What did you think?
Yeah. It's the finale of episode 9 was tremendous cliffhanger.
Yeah.
With the cops showing up to arrest Tyrone and the assassin who killed the lawyer from the earlier episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Tell
me, though, when they showed up to get Tyrone and he slipped out the back window, did you or did you not go, oh, that's bullshit. They would have had the place surrounded.
Right. Yeah. I do. I do that every time. Yeah. I do. But anyways, then Tandy's mom's got the gun to her head.
Yep.
I mean, that was a great cliffhanger.
It was.
And then when we get to, and then they picked right up in episode 10. Well, not really, because they started out episode 10. I loved this episode.
Oh my God. It was, I wanted to watch it again and again.
We get the story finally, and I'm going to murder everybody's names, but the aunt,
yep,
the girl that likes Tyrone.
Yep.
Her aunt, who's like the voodoo guy or whatever, she starts telling the story of New Orleans and how going over periods of time, how like these magic pairs, whether they be siblings or just chosen to be together or whatever, they, one has had to sacrifice themselves in order to save the city.
Yep. The divine pairing.
The divine pairing, yes. And it just, it goes all the way, like, I'm trying to start it all the way back with. And throughout the episode, we get the new story of the divine pairing.
Right.
The first ones were
Native Americans.
Native Americans, and they had been, the famine. It was a great famine. Fish weren't biting, crops weren't growing, nothing. So the little boy and the little girl, and one of them, the one, she sacrificed herself.
She had a brown mark on her arm.
Yes, it's like a brown mark on her arm. And
which was what indicated she had to be the one to die.
Right, and she drowned herself.
But, it, like, you didn't even know that it was coming, because basically they were just standing on the shore of, like, a lake.
Yeah.
And filling a basket with rocks.
And then she picked it up and set it on her head and walked into the water.
Yeah.
And then drowned.
At first I was like, oh, she's trying to cross the street. Well, she's not going to be able to cross. I mean, that's, oh.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden you see the fish biting the hooks and the fish come back.
Yep.
And then it goes to the War of 1812.
Yep. And these are all intermixed in the episode.
Right, yeah. It goes to the War of 1812. And it's the two of them is, it's the they don't know that the war's been over for a month because the battling there is so heavy.
Right.
And so the soldiers trying to get through to bring the message saying that they've come to a peace accord.
No, that was the third one.
Oh, so that was the third?
The second one was the Dueling Brothers.
Okay, the second one's the Dueling Brothers.
Yeah.
Where it's been horrendously storming and these brothers decide they're going to have a duel. And one at the last minute says no, but
he doesn't load the ball into his
to bring the family together. I'm going to sacrifice myself. He had an armband on his arm, and he dies and sacrifices. And then the storm stops.
Yep.
And then the third one is the War of 1812, and the soldier gets shot, and he has a band on his arm, and he gets shot and killed. And the girl just sees him. He passes her the note. She reads it, showing that the war. And then she takes off and delivers the message. And finally, the war ends.
Yep.
And then it goes to,
which is very accurate, by the way, because the War of New Orleans lasted well beyond the War of 1812.
Because the war was so embattled there, or whatever, so thick, they couldn't get the messages in.
Yep.
And then it goes on to the plague.
Yes.
And the gay doctor and his lover, and he gives him a blood transfusion of his own blood.
Yep.
And again,
in the jazz era.
Yeah. And again, he's got a mark on his arm.
Yep.
And then he dies and his lover is saved. And then a dozen other people in the church all of a sudden get up and none of them have any illness or ailments. And then the thing goes away. And so fast forward to now, and it's Tandy and Tyrone. And one of them has to die to stop the horror plague or the fear plague or whatever they call
it. Terrors.
The terrors. Yes.
Yep.
And
the Froxon is unleashing basically.
And through every single one of these montages, they're playing a version of Come Sail Away in the background.
With musical accompaniment that would be appropriate for that time.
Exactly. And I'm like, the first time, I'm like, oh, I recognize that.
Yep.
And then the second, I'm like, oh, that's Come Sail Away. That was the first one.
Yep.
And then when it's Tyrone and Tandy, and they're playing the original version of Come Sail Away, and it's just blaring. It fit perfect. I marked out big time. I loved it.
Except for one thing.
What?
It was not exactly the original version.
No, it wasn't.
It was the more recent version, but they had Olivia Holt sing it.
Right.
So they had her sing it because she was part of the show. I actually read an article on it, and they said, you know, what made you pick that one? And they said that they wanted just what you said. They wanted a melody that people would go, I kind of recognize that.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard this before. Something that was recognizable but wasn't like, you know, oh, whatever, you know. And they wanted it, like, kind of appropriate to what was going on. And they heard a lot of songs. They didn't say what the other ones were, but they said they listened to a lot of songs. And when it came down to this, it was because they decided, let's get Olivia to sing it.
Yep.
And so they had her sing it for them, and they were like, perfect. That's what's going in the show.
Well, I tell you, it's like Westworld.
Yep.
And they're like acoustic or piano versions of like heavy metal songs or something like that.
Yep.
You know, it's just like, this is awesome.
Yes.
And then hearing, like, the Come Sail Away versions is like, this is awesome.
The opening scene with those Native American kids.
Yeah.
And hearing, you know, like, basically something that you would hear in a Native American.
Right. Almost piece. Like the flute music or whatever. Yeah.
And then I'm like, I did the same thing you did. I'm like, I know this. I know.
That's a great melody. I recognize that. Yeah.
Oh, it's Come Sail Away. Oh, that's kind of cool. And then when it came time for the Dueling Brothers, and I'm like, it was colonial times, and they're playing it on, like, the marching flutes, like the drummers and the flute bearers would do. And I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. And then the same thing with 1812, you know?
Yeah.
And the jazz era, it was played on, like, a clarinet or a saxophone. I'm like, this is friggin' awesome. And then it paid out big time.
Oh, yeah, it did. I mean, I don't know if I want to break down every single part of the episode. I just think people need to go watch these 10 episodes.
They really do.
It's only 10 episodes. They're 45 minutes without commercials.
I think they're all on Hulu.
They are on Hulu. Yep, they're absolutely on Hulu. That's where I've watched it. It's well worth it.
And there's going to be a second season. It's coming back next year.
It's great character development.
It really is.
It's great character development.
Yep.
And it starts, to me, it started out slow.
Yes.
And then by the end of it, I was hooked. And, like, after these 10 episodes, I'm like, man, I want more.
Yes.
Like, I want more. Like, I did not expect, like... Anything else, like, I like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
I still think it should be over. Absolutely. I loved Agent Carter.
Yep.
Didn't care for Inhumans.
No. Wasn't hated Inhumans.
Yeah, I did not. And I wasn't a fan of The Runaways or
They
Legion,
might be redoing that.
Or what was the other one? The Gifted.
Oh, see, I still love The Gifted.
See, I wasn't a big fan of any of those. And so going in about, obviously, I like the Netflix movie.
Right.
Luke Cage season one with, you know, notwithstanding whatever.
Right.
But, like, I didn't expect much out of this.
Right.
It's in the Marvel Universe.
I expected nothing out of it. Yeah. It's on Freeform.
Right. That's the other reason.
And it's two characters that you're like, who are these and why do I care?
That's the other thing. Isn't it amazing where we've come where, like, you have these series of movies like, oh, Twister's popular in the theater.
Yeah.
Now we got to make Tornado.
Right.
No one shit on Tornado. It stars Bruce Campbell. But what I'm saying is, like, now we got to make all kinds of natural disaster movies.
Right.
Oh, Deep Impact, Armageddon, you know, on and on. We got to make all. And it's like, and then, oh, you know, like when a horror movie does good, now you're going to see a bunch of horror movies, which I love horror movies, but you know what I mean? Like, and then it just feels like, I don't know what it is, but with Marvel. And I know this is not part of the cinematic universe, but it's like everyone's trying to grab any Marvel property they can find, try and make some money off it.
Yeah, because they can. Because
they can. And
unlike DC.
Right. And there's a lot of misses on them. You know, but like the Marvel cinematic universe, I mean, Ant-Man, better than it ever should have been.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Like they're using
way better than it should have been.
Exactly. And it's just like the Marvel cinematic universe, I think, is Iron Man 3 is, like, the biggest dud, and even that's a good flick.
Yep.
But I expected nothing from this. I expected this to be, oh, it's a property Marvel didn't care about, obviously.
Right, because they stuck it on Freeform.
Right, yes. Oh, Cloak and Dagger? Sure, we'll take your money for this.
Right. Maybe they're just doing it so that they can renew their license, you know, like they had to make a Fantastic Four movie every so many years.
Or something like that. Man, this is actually really, really good.
It was my favorite show this summer, and I'm sad that it's gone.
Yeah, I guess I could agree with that.
We're not going to break down everything, because like you said, but there are a couple of things that I want to touch upon.
Okay.
One, Cloak finally, like, fully embracing his powers.
Yes.
We're going to see more about that next year and where Fox went.
Fox was the guy that got killed. He's dead.
That got sucked into the Cloak?
No, he was the patrolman. You're thinking of Connor?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So... We're going to see where
Connors.
Yeah. We're going to see where Connors went.
Yeah. Yes, because he went to Tyrone, couldn't kill him in the end, still couldn't do it, even though he killed his brother, even though how he felt the way he did, still couldn't kill, was going to let him go. But basically, it was just like, stay away from us.
Yeah.
And then Connors
left him on a rooftop.
Yeah. Connors still pulled his gun to shoot him, and all of a sudden, Cloak's powers took over and grabbed him and like absorbed him into his darkness somehow.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
Like he disappeared.
Yeah.
So that was great. Speaking of, okay, so we talked about character development. How about power development?
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of these superhero shows, Luke Cage we'll take for example.
Yeah.
Can't be broken, can't be blasted, can't be shot. Okay. doesn't really do anything creative with it.
Right.
Daredevil, he can punch people. He can, you know, he kind of sees with it. You know, a lot of these heroes.
He's a martial artist and he can fight, but there's limitations to what you can do.
Right. A lot of the heroes that we're seeing nowadays.
Yeah.
Are just like, they've got their powers, and they're just like, yeah, whatever. These two learned about their powers and have been growing with them all season. Like, first it was just, oh, I can accidentally teleport, and I can accidentally make this dagger appear.
Yeah.
To the end of the season, where she's whipping out daggers left and right, throwing them, flinging them, you know, taking people out. He's teleporting wherever he wants, like back, forth, up, down. And then absorbing somebody in.
Yeah.
And their empathic powers.
Yes.
Like, that's something we forgot to mention in episode 9. You know, Tandy, when she goes off the deep end, she discovers not only can she see people's joys, but she can actually suck it out of them.
Yes, and leave them in a catatonic state.
Yeah.
Because that's what she did with, I want to say his name is Scarborough, but that's not it. You know who I'm talking. Yeah, his name's Scarborough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's town in Maine.
I was like, it sounds right.
The head of Oxon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sucks their joy out because it gives her a high, because then she's feeling like the endorphin type thing. But it's not just like she touches them and, you know, leeches it out. She literally goes into their joys, sees them in there. They're like, oh, this is what I've always wanted. She does it to her boyfriend.
Yep.
That sucked.
Yeah, it did.
Like, she got him out of jail and, you know, he's like, this is what I want. She sees herself getting married to him.
And she used him.
Beautiful. Yeah. And she used him.
And then somehow Tyrone ended up in that, which he doesn't know how he did.
Right.
And then he confronts her about it.
Yeah.
And calls her on, hey, you can't do that to people.
Right.
Right.
You're literally sucking their joy. So the power development in this, along with the character development, was phenomenal. And the setup for season 2's villain is another example of taking a character and putting them through the ringer and giving them a completely awesome arc, which I guess a lot of diehard fans were expecting this.
Do we want to title? Do we want to?
You can if you want. I mean, it says right at the very end of the episode, it says Cloak and Dagger will return in 2019. Mayhem is coming.
Okay. So that's the villain.
Yep.
And if you just do a Google search, you'll find out who it is. The cop,
right.
O'Reilly.
Right.
Something happens with her. And she ends up getting dashed with powers the same way, kind of similar. And we see her at the end of the episode where she has basically become Mayhem.
And all we see so far is that her eyes are a different color and that she seems to move like that chick in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, the twitchy, suddenly I'm 5 feet ahead type thing.
Almost kind of like the for Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, yeah, Ghost.
Yeah, Ghost. The other thing, too, is... they made a reference to Danny Rand and Tony Stark.
Yeah, you got to keep up with the Joneses. And in this world, you got to keep up with the Starks and the Rands. I was like,
Yeah.
He said the thing.
So, I mean, that's not only the Netflix universe, but the DC, you know, the Marvel Cinematic Universe or whatever.
Yep.
And I like the little mentions because little mentions keep it together.
Yep, but they don't, you know, many times, including in the final episode, you know, they're like, you should have stayed in Harlem, you know.
Should have stayed in New York.
Yeah, yeah. Why'd you come down here? You're not from New Orleans.
Yeah. She's not.
It's such a great show.
I really enjoyed it. Like,
I
watched the last episode today.
Yep.
I had my earbuds in. The kids were playing, and my wife was taking a nap, and my other blah, blah, blah. And
you were directing air traffic?
Yeah, I was just flailing my arms like a Frenchman. That's what I am. And when the ending...
Yeah.
When their powers and they stopped in, Come Sail Away kicked on.
Oh my God.
I was just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I need to watch this whole series again. This was a great show.
Yeah.
I can't stress that enough, and I don't think you can either.
No, it was a really good show. I didn't have any faith in it at all when it started.
At all.
And by the end, it's like, man, I wish it was longer.
I'm so glad that I picked it up. Like, was like, I remember I missed the first episode. They were like, oh, yeah, it premiered last night. And I'm like, maybe I won't bother. And then I was like, well, I got nothing else going on. I'll watch it. I'm so glad that I did, because holy crap, it was worth it. This show, you need to be watching.
Yeah, no, it's 100% worth it.
Big sell of the week.
I watched... You're kind of a dick.
I can be.
Because I watched that show. I can't think of the name of it now.
Okay.
one on the CW where you're like, you gotta watch the first episode. The Outpost. I'm watching this thing, and I'm sitting there, and my arms are crossed, and I'm fucking just, I'm looking at it basically with one eye, because the other one's kind of closed. I'm just like, this garbage is so stupid. And Rude just goes, what are you so angry about? This dumb show John's making me watch. That's what I'm angry about. I'm talking about garbage.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it had to be seen. Like, I can sit here and say that it's garbage, but until you saw it, like, it could have been like Xena or Hercules.
That was when it first started. I'm like, hey, that's the vibe it gave me.
Exactly.
I loved those syndicated shows. Right. Xena, Hercules, anything like those ones. Like, I loved those syndicated shows. Cleopatra 2525. And it looks like that. The credits are like that, kind of. Yeah. The look of it, the feel of it, whatever. It just screams, this is a syndicated show to me.
Right.
Which, it's so hard to describe nowadays what a syndicated show looks like as opposed to what a network or cable show looks like. But it has that look.
Mm-hmm.
It has that, we're not backed by a studio look, budget feel to it.
Right.
Okay? And I'm watching it, and I'm like, the show has all the potential in the world to be great, I think. it's just not.
It's just that they let five-year-olds write it.
It's just, I mean,
direct it and produce it.
It was just terrible.
It was terrible.
It was
the special effects on the creatures.
Oh god!
The cut scenes where they're like standing outside of the obviously cardboard doors to the keep.
Yeah, it's just, it was so bad. And the acting really wasn't that good either.
No.
Yeah. It was bad.
Well,
I'm glad
you at least saw part of the horror.
Oh, no, I watched the entire episode.
Oh, you did better than me. I didn't watch the last 20 minutes of it.
Oh, fuck. Seriously, I didn't have to either?
I got two-thirds of the way in, and I went, nope, done.
I thought I had to watch the whole thing.
Nope.
Gosh, I can't believe this hasn't been canceled yet.
I know, right?
I really cannot believe it hasn't been canceled yet. Anyways, yeah. And it was nonsensical, kind of, too. It was stupid. I mean, Hootin' and the Lady gets canceled. That was a great show.
That was a great show.
Especially
production value,
especially
too.
Compared to this crap. That was a fantastic show, really. But there was one guy I recognized in it. Maybe not one guy. There was an actor in it I recognized from some other stuff. I just can't think of what else I saw him in.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
That's my worst pick of the week. So we bookend the show already.
Yeah. There we go. Good night. No.
What else did you watch, dude?
Preacher. Caught up on a couple episodes of that.
I'm just not going to bother.
They introduced a new character, the All-Father, who is the head of that organization that Hare Star is in. The interesting thing about him is it's the actor who played, what's his name?
Him?
The bad cop on this most recent season of The Blacklist. The one that they were chasing around. You know the actor. You know, he's kind of got the one eye that kind of squints shut, and he's got the beak nose.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Okay, so he plays the All-Father. But they've got him dressed up. He has papal garments on, but he's got a fat suit on so that he looks like Mr. Creosote from Monty Python. Like the comically large, overweight giant.
Yeah.
And like he's sitting there taking
God, I'm looking at a picture.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's sitting there taking his video conference calls and he's like shoving food in his mouth. And they actually make reference to it at one point because he's talking to the black guy there who was on Better Off Ted.
Yeah.
And the black guy's like, he just seems like a fat loser to me. And he goes, the Hare Star's like, oh, no. He's very deadly. And, like, you see this scene where they've got this guy, two priests are holding him down on the ground, and the All-Father there sits on his head until it explodes in blood. Like, he crushes his head by sitting on him. And Hare Star goes, and that's because he touched his hot pocket.
Caliente pocket.
So, it's still not bad. They took an interesting twist with Cassidy because he went on a date with a vampire girl. And he was just trying to meet somebody who he could relate to because, you know, there aren't a lot of vampires out there. And so he met her on a dating app, but she's older than him. And they go in the bathroom to shag, and she puts in her fake teeth. And he goes, wait a minute, are you fake? And she goes, yeah, what do you mean? And then he shows her his teeth and scares her away because he's a real vampire. So then her group comes and steals him.
Did he really think he was going to meet a real vampire in Idiot?
He's desperate right now. He's very lonely, and Tulip basically told him, I don't love you, and Jesse doesn't want him around. And the people down there at Angelville strung him up, and they were going to leave him hung from a tree until the sun came up and burned him alive. So he's kind of in a bad place. But he then gets kidnapped by that girl's group, which they are all fake vampires, but they're under a real vampire. And he showed Cassidy what it means to be a vampire, and showed him how you can fly and you can turn yourself into a cat. You can do all these neat tricks like hypnosis and stuff that Cassidy's never known that he could do. So that part's interesting. The rest of it's still soul sucking, and it's better. It's much better than last season, but it's nothing that I'm like, go out and watch it. Yeah, it's entertaining me.
I'm just not gonna.
Did you watch Castle Rock?
I did. I've watched two episodes. Have you watched any?
I've watched four episodes.
Okay.
Which is all there are so far.
Yes. I watched the first two. Now, okay.
I feel this needs a now okay.
Well, okay. I don't dislike it. I'm enjoying it, actually, quite a bit.
Yeah.
I was fooled because I thought it was going to be an anthology series.
Thank you. Because I thought the same thing.
That's what they advertised it as, was being an anthology series.
Yeah.
But apparently nowadays what anthology means, it's not The Twilight Zone or Tales from the Crypt or The Outer Limits, where it's each episode's a standalone story.
Or Black Mirror.
Or Black Mirror, exactly. You know, like, to me, with the theme of Castle Rock, Stephen King, J.J. Abrams, and Stephen King's stories, I mean, it's quite possible to have a standalone episode for a 13-episode season or 10-episode season.
And then have them all have, like, one little tie-in to each other.
Yeah, somehow. And that's what I thought it was going to be.
That's what I thought as well. Thank you.
But no, now, apparently, the new definition of anthology, thanks to, like, say, American Horror Story or Slasher or Channel Zero. Or
The Sinner.
Or The Sinner now, apparently, is each season can be a new story.
Right. I'm not a fan of that.
I'm
not as much of a fan of that, I should say.
That's not an anthology show to me.
Not to me either.
That's not what the definition of, like, Black Mirror or Twilight Zone.
Because if it gets canceled after one season, it was never an anthology.
Right.
It was a one-season show.
One-season show, yeah.
So I'm completely on board with you on this.
They need to come up with a new word.
Yes. Yeah.
Because, like,
like serial. They could call it a serial drama or something.
Sure. But when I buy, like, you know, an anthology book.
Yep.
It's a book of a bunch of short stories. Right. It's not a book about one thing. And then book two is about something different. No, that's two different books.
Right. Yeah.
It's not an anthology.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, for instance, like Slasher. Season one was about this town during Halloween. Season two is about kids in the woods, in the mountains, in the ski slope woods or whatever. I was doing skiing. I did the skiing motion. Yeah. So,
but you kept it right by your hip, and you're just going like this. Like, I was like, wheelbarrow prepping?
No, skiing. So anyway.
Toilets behind them.
So those aren't an anthology. That's just two different shows.
Yeah.
Who share a title and nothing that crosses between them.
Yeah. When the first episode of Castle Rock ended.
Yes.
And I was like, that was an...
Yeah.
Like, there was no twist.
That was weird. Yeah.
And then the second episode was, like, previously on. I'm like, whoa, yeah. Cowboy. Hold on a second here.
Yeah. That being said, I don't dislike it.
No.
I enjoy it so far.
I enjoy it. It's slow.
Yes. And I'm fine with that. It's not bothering me. You know, there's all kinds of little Stephen King Easter eggs in it.
Like the one, have you seen the episode where he has the one folder that he opens up and it's literally newspaper clippings of every Stephen King book that has ever happened?
Well, okay, there's four newspaper clippings.
Yeah.
But it's like
Rabid Dog Terrorizes Neighborhood.
Cujo.
Curiosity Shop Burns to the Ground.
The Needful Things.
I can't even remember the other ones. I was just going.
You know, another one was Stand By Me. But they made reference to Stand By Me.
Oh, yeah, Body or something.
Yeah, they made reference to Stand By Me in another one already.
And we're at Shawshank Prison.
Shawshank Prison, exactly. So there's a lot of the... I enjoy that.
I do as well.
Like, for instance...
Sometimes it's a little on the nose.
Alan... Scott Glenn. The actor.
Yes.
Playing Alan Pangborn.
Yes.
In the first episode, it's 1991. He's the sheriff. He finds this boy. Fast forward 2018, he's not the sheriff anymore. But that Alan Pangborn, he was the sheriff. Ed Harris played him in Needful Things. He was the sheriff then. And he's also been the sheriff in a couple other stories, but not on TV or whatever.
Yep.
So it's I like that. I like the nods. I like the nod to Stand
Absolutely.
By Me. I like the nod to, you know, even the lady on death row in Texas when he's down there to help her, that's a nod to
the Green Mile?
No. It's something else. Another story or whatever. Like, it's intertwined. And if you don't know all, if you haven't read of all Stephen King shit, you're not going to know.
Right.
Or whatever.
Or, I mean, I haven't read all of them, but I know enough.
You know enough, or you've watched enough movies. There's some really vague ones. Like, that one's a really vague one. I can't think of it now. I had the connection at one point, but whatever. But that being said, I'm enjoying the show.
Yep.
It's slow.
Yep.
Essentially, it's about this, the warden for the prison at the beginning, he kills himself very uniquely, by the way.
Question.
Yeah.
Was he just imagining his wife, or do you think she's like some kind of demon type thing?
Oh, no, she's there. Because we saw her in episode 2.
Was she talking to...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's blind, apparently.
Oh, that's right, that's right, yes. Okay.
So, no, she's around. She's alive. Anyway,
yeah,
she's
a very natural. Unique way to... Like, what did he tie that to? Was it a tree?
A tree. It was a tree. You should really watch it.
Yeah.
But anyways, so he kills himself.
Yeah.
A new warden comes in. There's a whole section... They find out there's a whole section of the prison that they're not utilizing, so they send a couple guards down there to look at. They find a kid down there.
In a cage.
In a cage. And I say a kid. He's probably, you know, he's in his 20s. And he says, like, a guy's name.
Yep. And that's all he'll say.
Yeah. And what it is, it's the name of a kid who back in 1991, who's, you know, he's a black kid that was adopted by white parents. And, you know, him and they went out and his dad disappeared. And they blamed him for his dad's death and yada, yada, yada.
Because he was found by a guy.
He was found by the sheriff.
Yep. Who
is now dating his mom.
Yeah. And he had no marks on him and no frostbite or anything like that, but he had been gone for 11 days.
He lost a couple toes.
Had he?
Yeah, they talk about that in episode 2. But anyway, so... But the point is, he's been gone for years. It's 28 years later, 27 years later now.
And not that he's been gone missing, but he
He
went
like,
off.
He left.
Life.
Like, when he became 18, he, like, left and moved out, and he's been living in Texas, and he battles for people that are on death row and yada, yada. So there's no reason for this kid in this prison in Maine to know who he is.
Right.
But what it is, the warden, for whatever reason, knew he was there and visited this kid. And we don't know why the warden had him locked up or why the kid was down there. But he appears to have some sort of supernatural powers, which is a standard kind of like Stephen King-y twist. So I don't know. I'm enjoying it. It's J.J. Abrams.
As well as the
stick with it.
The neighbor girl played by Melanie Lynskey, who was the next door neighbor or across the street neighbor.
She has some sort of psychic abilities.
Yeah.
Which she takes a half a Percocet to dull them.
Yep. Yeah. She talks about mirror neurons, which are a real thing.
Yeah. So it's not a traditional anthology.
No.
And when you watched all the trailers for it or the previews or whatever, it looked like a traditional anthology.
Sure did. That's the impression I got.
100%. And it's not. Not at all.
Yep.
So,
which it really would have worked well as an anthology.
I think I was looking forward to the fact it was an anthology.
Me too.
Not that I'm not liking what it is. It's just that when you're, you know, when you go to have a drink and it's water and you think it's Diet Pepsi and you're like, oh, God, it's water.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what happened.
More like you think that it's Diet Pepsi and it's Diet Coke.
Oh,
you go,
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, it's a Hulu original.
Yes.
They released 3 episodes on the first day.
Yep.
And now they're trickling them out 1 a week.
Wednesday, this new episode drops.
Yeah. Yep. So I went and I watched the 4th episode, and then it was like, now watch. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I'll have to wait till next Wednesday for that.
I've only watched 2 so far. I have more to watch. But like I said, I liked it. It's not what I thought it was going to be, but I like it.
Good. I like it as well. Again, I'm in the same boat. I think it's a little slower. Like, I'm 4 episodes in, and I'm like, okay, we need a little bit more going on. But we'll get there.
So, I watched, the wife and I watched the first couple episodes of the new season of, what's it called? Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's back.
Yep. I heard that they do a lot with flashbacks in this one.
I don't know. We've watched the first episode. It was like not very good. They're all in maximum security prison now, and basically they're not in Litchfield. They're in Max. They're trying to figure out.
I haven't watched it for a couple seasons. So that's go
fine.
Right ahead.
I know you haven't. Yeah. But they're not in Litchfield. Like I said, they're not in Litchfield after the riot. The season ended with the riot being broken up and then being put on buses and shipped away. They've been, not all the characters are there. Like, Alex, Laura Prepon's character. We don't know where she is, but her name's in the opening credits every week. So she's definitely somewhere. Some of them were shipped to Ohio. because they just couldn't house them all up the street at the max prison from the you know, whatever, junior max, I don't know what to call it, minimum security. But anyway, so basically you have investigators trying to figure out who's responsible for the riot. And you see the guards who accidentally killed Piscatella mm-hmm. with the beanbag to the face.
Yeah.
They trying to set up the prisoners, the inmates, for murdering him.
Oh, wow.
Even shooting him in the face with his own gun and wow. trying to, yeah, depending on the inmates. So, yeah, they, that's what we're seeing so far. And the first episode was just kind of like garbage. Wasn't very good. My wife was like, doesn't make me want to watch anymore. I'm like, yeah, it was kind of like how disappointing a show can be after a hiatus. It comes back and it's like, comes back with a whimper.
Yeah.
The show came back with a whimper, seeing how, like, last season, the way it was. But then episodes 2 and 3, excellent. So they bring, it gets right back in and out, you know, it's like, okay, good. They've got back some of their thunder, if you will.
Thanks.
And they're introducing a couple new characters, because, yes, I guess there have been a lot more flashbacks. Frida, the tough old broad with the tattoo kind of on her neck, okay. and she's one that had, she made, anyways, she, we're learning about her past now. And a couple of sisters that she crossed and Max, and that's how she got her ride down to the minimum security.
Oh.
Now she's back up there, so she's a little nervous about that. So we're seeing that backstory. That's kind of cool.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's really good so far.
Thanks.
First episode, no. 2 and 3 have been great, so looking forward to watching the rest.
Cool. And they're all on there now.
Yeah, they pop them all up there at once, yeah.
I watched a show that Netflix suggested for me, and it's a little bit weird. I didn't realize the backstory behind it. So I mentioned it when we were just talking a minute ago. The Sinner?
That was on the USA Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I remember seeing it on the USA Network and being like, no thanks.
Well, it was like, this is popular on Netflix right now. And I'm like, okay. So I started watching it, and it said a USA production. I'm like, okay. Well, I watched the whole thing. Like, I was glued to all 8 episodes of this season.
It was that good?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Twisted. Really twisted.
Oh, I want to watch it then.
And I'm not going to give anything away, but, like, I sat down and watched the first episode, and I'm like, what am I watching here? And I watched all 8 episodes, and it's kind of like what Castle Rock is. So all 8 episodes are start to finish this story.
Yep.
The other day, season 2 just premiered on USA.
I saw that, and it was going to be a new story.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is what I'll lay for groundwork on this, okay, without doing any spoilers or anything. So Bill Pullman is in this.
Yep.
And
isn't it Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel is in this. I don't know what happened to Jessica Biel. She looks very emaciated. Jessica Biel was always a very lovely woman. She looks really scrawny and emaciated in this.
Maybe she's dead to the role.
There are a lot of flashbacks in this show. Basically, what happens is in the first episode, you see her. She's got a husband. She's got a kid, maybe 5, 6 years old.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing the normal stuff. We get like 10 to 15 minutes in.
They're at the beach, right?
They're at the beach. She's got a little tiny knife.
They gave this away in the trailer.
Yeah. She's cutting up a kiwi for her son. And she sees this couple in front of her. And they're wrestling around and playing kissy kissy. And they start making out on the beach. And something in her just snaps. And she gets up and she walks over with the knife. And she brutally kills the guy.
Yeah.
Like, they show the whole thing.
Yeah.
She stabs him like 7 times. And like every time she stabs, you see the knife go in, blood's coming out. And she's like, get your hands off her. Don't touch her. And she's put away for murder. And she confesses to it. Bill Pullman is a detective.
Yeah.
He's got his own problems. He's got some problems going on.
Yep.
But throughout the 8 episodes, we see a lot more of the backstory. We get pieces of what led up to this. We get pieces of her childhood. The first scene that we see in the first episode was her maybe at like 8 or 9 years old, and she's sitting there in the living room with her mother and father, and it looks like one of these like Quakerish kind of homes, you know, the type of home that has Jesus everywhere.
Ugh.
And her mother, okay, this is a mother holding a little tiny baby that looks very scrawny, and she's talking to her 7, 8 year old, and she says to her, okay, when you were in my belly, you took all of my strength. Everything that I have went to you. So that's why I had nothing left when your sister came along, and that's why she's sick, because you took everything from me. So it's your fault that your sister is sick.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's like, so you're going to pray for your sister, right? She's like, uh-huh. So right there, her childhood did not start off well.
No, that's not the positive way.
I definitely recommend this show.
Really?
It is twisted.
It is bizarre. I like bizarre.
And it's really, it has a good payoff because it's 8 episodes and you get the whole story.
And they're 45 minutes, basically. Yes. And it's on Netflix. So yes. You get to watch the whole thing.
I seriously recommend this. Like, I was shocked.
All right,
it's not like
out.
It's not like this is the greatest thing ever, but man, I was hooked.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah. Other than that, I only watched one of the show and then some movies.
What's the other show?
I caught up, and I know you're not going to want to hear this, but I caught up on the entire third season of The Magicians on Sci-Fi.
Okay.
Because I really, really, really recommend this show. I know that I've talked about it in the past.
Yeah, you have.
And I've had a hard time selling it. The first two seasons are on Netflix, but not the third season so far.
Yeah.
It's a great show. And this season was even better. This season was phenomenal. They're coming back for a fourth season. Because Sarah Gamble of Supernatural fame.
I like her.
Yeah. She's the showrunner.
Oh.
And she did an interview recently at Comic-Con. And they were like, how could you end season three like that? And she said, I've got a rule for my professional career. I like to screw everybody over in the season finale so that when I go to the network, they go, how are you going to fix this? And I go, well, you've got to renew me for another season to find out. So this season was phenomenal. This season was the quest to find the 7 magic keys.
Yeah.
This season had a musical episode, including 8 of the stars singing well and poorly Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie.
Okay.
It was awesome. It was one of my favorite renditions so far. This show is great. You want to talk about character development. I sat there and I waxed on this with my sister for about a half an hour about the way that this show, like from season one, looking at some of the characters, like we went over it. We're like, look at Quentin. Look at Penny. Penny was a complete asshole. I love Penny now. Penny's one of the best characters. Like all of these characters have grown so much over 3 seasons. Their character development has been phenomenal. And I just can't speak good enough about this show. It starts off so rough, and it's very dark, and it's very twisted. You know, Julia is you hate her, because she's that girl that kind of always got everything. Everything came easy to her. She's got the fiance. She's got the nice apartment. Her and Quentin have been friends their entire life. He's got this kind of unrequited love for her, but, you know, she's Julia. She's good at everything. And they both get kind of like Harry Potter'd. You know, they both get accepted to test to go to Breakbills, the school of magic. And everybody there is like, oh, yeah, magic's real. We all do this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And Quentin gets in and Julia doesn't. And that starts her on a spiral because it's the first time in her life that she couldn't do something. And she failed her test and she goes a little bit, like, dark. Okay. From there, this show just – the first season is good. The second season is better. This third season was phenomenal. I can't get over it. So I really recommend this. If you like fantasy shows, if you like stuff that has dark humor, one thing that I loved about this third season is Sci-Fi really doubled down on their willingness to put the F-bombs on TV. And these people, there was no bleeping. You know, they'd be like, get the fuck out of my way. And plain and simple, right there.
Yeah, I don't know why it's come, I wonder why it's come to that. Or how it's come to that. You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know if it's because they're trying to do ratings or if they're saying we respect the people that are watching this and know that they're adults and they can make their own decisions.
Well, I'd like to say I'm going to watch it.
Yep.
But I can't promise you I will.
Nope.
I have a lot of other stuff I got to watch or want to watch.
Absolutely.
It's 39 episodes deep right now.
It is.
Which is a lot.
It is.
I still haven't finished Supernatural from this season, which I kind of want to because I at least want to watch the cartoon episode, Scooby-Doo episode.
Right.
Okay.
But also, anybody out there who's listening, if you like a good Supernatural show, you know, this, and it's based on a book, a very good selling book.
I don't know that.
So, yeah, I strongly recommend The Magicians. Time travel, alternate realities, you know, some of my favorite things, sex magic. Dark, twisted stuff, partying, but like believable partying,
right?
Type stuff. It's, trust me, it's good. And that watching them sing Under Pressure was just great.
Speaking of time travel,
yes,
We didn't get a full season.
No.
But Timeless has been renewed for like a 2-hour finale.
It's two episodes.
So it's like a 2-part finale. I'm still hoping like Netflix or someone swoops in and grabs it for another season.
I think that you notice how it took so long for them to announce this.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if one of the networks courted them and they were like, let us finish it up first. And then if you still want it, you can buy it.
Well, there's no release date, but they're saying the holidays.
Right.
I don't care. I'm excited.
I am too.
I'm very excited.
Yeah. So.
Better than nothing.
That's right.
That's like I'm hanging my hat on that. Well, it's 2 more episodes at least. It's better than 0 more episodes.
Right, exactly.
I only watched like 2 movies.
I watched 4, but I only liked one of them.
Oh, okay. What? Okay, I guess throw a couple out there. What did you like or didn't you like? I guess.
I just watched one called Laggies. It wasn't good. It had Keira Knightley in it and Chloe Grace Moretz. Oh. And who was the other one there? Oh, Ellie Kemper from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt in The Office.
Okay.
So I liked all of them. And it's basically just Keira Knightley plays this girl who, like, never grew up. But it's so boringly done that I just didn't care about it. Oh, and Sam Rockwell's in it.
I like Sam
Rockwell. I love Sam Rockwell. But, it's not enjoyable. It's dramatic and, you know, touching and... No, I don't recommend it at all.
Really?
Don't watch Laggies. It's not like it's a bad movie. It's just, it's not enjoyable. Same thing with Like Father. It came up as a Netflix recommendation.
Oh, is that the one with Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah, and Kristen Bell.
Oh, no. That's garbage?
I thought it was going to be a funny romp through the, and it is.
That's disappointing.
It was disappointing. I watched it last night.
I wanted to see that.
And. It's all just like generic and touching and like trying to reconnect and there's like almost no jokes in it whatsoever. It's just drama.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, watch it if you want, but I didn't enjoy it very much.
I watched I'm going to call it a low budget documentary
because
it really is a low budget documentary. I think it's even shot in fucking 4:3 format.
Oh, whoa.
It's called Road Trip to Ralphie, a Christmas Story documentary. And it's about these two fans in Canada who just love A Christmas Story.
Uh-huh.
And this was, I think it was probably filmed a few years ago, but I watched it on Amazon Prime. And it's something I wanted to watch. It's definitely, like it's shot with like an actual, like probably VHS-C camera maybe even. I mean, like it's...
You keep going down here.
I know. But it's...
They took Polaroids.
Yeah. But if you like... A Christmas Story,
yep.
Or if you love it like I do,
right?
It's well worth watching because it's not like it's low budget and crappy. It's low budget, but it's full of heart and passion. And it's just they just didn't have a budget. Like this probably started out as they're filming this for their own selves,
right?
And then you know what? Maybe we can make this into something. Who knows? But it's a husband and wife duo, and they're Canadian. And he does most of the filming and she does most like the on screen like talking whatever, and there's something very likable about her. Like you know
she's Canadian.
Well, fair enough. But you know what I mean though? Like she just has a great personality and that so all the things that help make it great, you can definitely overlook that it's definitely low budget. And they keep doing like the fade wipe to end the scene to go to the next is like when they do like the eye whatever, the iris, whatever. Yeah. And they do that on A Christmas Story a couple of times. But they take you to the school.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the scenes in Canada. And they did their work on this. They do a great job on this. They take you to all kinds of different scenes and locations, like the school where the movie was filmed, the classroom where Ralphie's classroom was. They even managed to get a piece of the blackboard because they happened to be there right before it's going to be all stripped out to made for condominiums.
Oh, wow.
So they agreed to help volunteer to, like, strip the place down if they could have the blackboard from Mrs. Shields' room. And they get it, and then they donate it to the Christmas Story house. And
did they go to the Christmas Story house?
They do, and they're actually there the day it opened for the first time ever. So the grand opening of it, where like all the cast is there.
Nice. my cousin and his wife just went there for a little mini vacation.
My wife's cousin and her now husband just went there. They're visiting his family, like in the spring or whatever, and they went there. I want to go see it.
Yeah, I'd go see that.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. So anyways, it's just great. Like, they go to the school, the fire truck. Like, okay, they find the fire truck that pulls up on scene. And when Flint gets his tongue stuck to the flagpole, mm-hmm. and they go to the firehouse where the fire truck is, this old antique fire truck, in to look at it. I mean, they talk. They go to this costume place where, pardon me, where like they, what they did is they went to the film division, and they got the records of all the permits of where they used all their costuming and all that stuff. And they went to, like, the wardrobe place where they rented costumes, and some of the costumes were still there.
Wow.
You know, 30-plus years later, like, they were able to pull out, oh, this is Randy's snowsuit, this is Ralphie's jacket, this is Mom's robe, and on and on and on. And then afterwards it tells you, like, hey, we told the guy that bought the Christmas Story House about it. He came up here and bought everything from them. You know what I mean? For his museum. But it's just, like, that stuff's just still sitting there. But it was just, it was really cool, like, things I never thought of, like, that would be there. They went for, like, not just the main sites, like, the big ones, but, like, every little thing and all the little background stuff. I mean, they did a great, this was filmed over a long period of time, mm-hmm. a couple of years at least. They did a really great job researching it, presenting it to you, putting the information in. They didn't have much of a budget for camera equipment, for filming and for editing and all that stuff. But if you like A Christmas Story, it's well worth watching. I give it a hard sell.
Nice.
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime right now, and if you go on their website, you can buy it, the DVD, I think. But, yeah, I give it
Prime
a hard sell.
Prime runs out pretty soon, doesn't it? What's that smile for?
It's not a smile as much as it's I thought it expired tomorrow, but it expired today. So I have a second month of Prime now.
That's how they hook you.
You know, okay, here's the other thing. I have now bought more shit on Prime that I wouldn't normally buy because of shipping.
Yeah.
Because when I had to pay for shipping, it prevented me from spending money I didn't need to spend. Now, I just freaking buy shit willy-nilly.
Because you get it in 2 days for free.
Right. Stupid.
It's like an aphrodisiac.
It really is. It's like, oh, here's a little sample, a little hit.
Yeah.
And now
first taste is free.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I thought it was really, really very good. What's the other movies you watched?
Well, I want to bring something up here.
Okay.
Tell me another movie you watched, because I got to look something
up. Okay, so the only other movie I watched is called The Villainess.
Oh, okay.
And I saw the trailer. I thought, this looks awesome. I clicked on the link. Oh, it's only $8 for a DVD for the Blu-ray on Amazon. And the DVD is like 10. Oh, screw it. I'm going to order it, because this looks amazing. All right, so I got... So, all right, I watched it. I wish I just would have rented it instead of bought it.
Okay.
But I did enjoy it. I'm trying to think of a good synopsis. It's called The Villainess. It's a South Korean film. So it's you know, you got to read the subtitles while you watch it. And basically, it's a revenge movie.
Okay.
There's a girl. She's wronged. She gets her revenge at the very beginning. Then she gets, you know, oh, you can go to jail or you can come work for us for a decade. She gets wronged again. She gets her revenge again. There's some great fight scenes. There's some great action scenes. There's some lots of great violence and killing and whatnot. But then there's the middle parts that kind of drag as they do story development.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
It got a lot of hype of being like, you know, crazy, you know, fast-paced action. And it was.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, I enjoyed it. It's just over 2 hours long. But... What kind of wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Fair enough.
Overall, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to read you the cast of this movie that stands out to me. Okay?
Is this the movie you watched?
Yes, this is one of the two other movies that I watched.
Okay.
Aubrey Plaza.
I like Aubrey Plaza.
Dane DeHaan.
Okay.
John C. Reilly.
He's awesome.
Molly Shannon.
She's great.
Cheryl Hines.
Oh, man, I think I know this movie.
Paul Reiser.
Oh.
Matthew Gray Gubler.
Yep. I can't think of the title, but...
Anna Kendrick.
Yep.
Rob Delaney.
Yep.
Adam Pauly. Great cast.
I want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Life After Beth.
Yeah, okay. I thought so.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I saw the trailer recently. I went, ooh, I want to check this out.
It's very low budget.
What'd you watch it on?
Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
So it's on Netflix.
And?
Very low budget.
Really?
It's not bad, but it's really not great.
It's not good either.
No, it's not. The way that the movie opens and you feel like you missed a lot. Like, it opens with Aubrey Plaza walking along a trail on a mountain. She's just, like, walking around looking, and then suddenly people are just at a very sad party, and they're, like, consoling each other. And you slowly learn, oh, she's dead. But wait, she was just walking on a mountain. But she's dead. And then shortly thereafter, Dane DeHaan apparently was her boyfriend. Yeah. And he thinks he sees her. So she might be alive. It has to be experienced. Like, I can't say this is a good movie because it's not. It's not a good movie.
It's like the,
it's not a terrible movie.
The Outpost.
No.
Do I have to watch like the Outpost?
No. Not at all. If you want to see this, check it out. It's got a semi-interesting take on things. It's really weird to see Matthew Gray Grubler, who I'm used to being Spencer Reed on Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
It's weird to see him as an NRA nut, law enforcement officer.
Okay, that is weird.
Polishing his Desert Eagle and being very proud of it. But the acting's really not that great. The production value's really low. I mean, I was not impressed. I can't recommend this. Like, check it out if you want to.
No, I'm not gonna.
Okay.
Not with this sell.
It's like, it fizzles out at the end. Well, if you're not going to watch it, I'm just going to say it. So she's dead, but then she comes back one day, and her parents hide her away. John C. Reilly and Molly Shannon, they hide her because they don't want people to ask questions because she's suddenly alive again. They buried her in the ground, but she's suddenly alive. And Dane DeHaan checks it out. No, look, in the graveyard, there's a hole in the ground where she came up from. And she doesn't have memory of dying. She keeps saying that she has to study for her test. And apparently, we find out a little later on that her and Dane DeHaan actually broke up a while ago. She told him she wanted to see other people and broke up with him. But she doesn't remember any of that. She just remembers being his girlfriend. So, like, she's regressed months or maybe years. And so he wants to have her be his girlfriend again because he never got over her. So he's all excited about this. And
how long was she dead and gone?
A day, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it hasn't been long at all. And so he visits her, and then he tries to take her out of the house, and John C. Reilly's like, no, you can't have her out in public, you know, not during the daytime. And then she starts getting aggressive, like, more than she should be. But she doesn't get cold or anything, but, like, she stayed out in the sun too long, so her skin got blistered because she burned. And then it progresses, like, she gets more and more aggressive and angrier. Like, she throws him around and gets really angry because he won't do what she wants. And then when he does, and she's like, oh, okay. Like, she calms down as soon as he acquiesces. But then, for some unknown reason that they never get into, other people start coming back from the dead. Like, grandparents and parents, and all of them are perfectly preserved. Like, they don't look like they've rotted at all, even though they've probably been in the ground for years. And now it's happening all over town. And then they quickly start devolving, and now they're all trying to eat people. And then she gets a taste for it and eats her father, John C. Reilly, off screen. Like, apparently he was trying to feed her something and she bit his finger and got a taste and then just went nuts and ate him. So then Molly Shannon's holding up her hand and she's missing fingers because she's been chopping off her own fingers to feed to her to, you know, satiate her appetite. So then they strap her to the stove. They, like, chain her and bungee cord her to the stove so that she can't get up. But then all she ever wanted was to go on a hike with Dane DeHaan, and he wouldn't go with her because he said that's stupid. And now he's like, why don't we go for a hike? And she's like, okay. And she's more feral now, so she barely talks. And so she stands up and takes the stove with her. So they're walking down the street with her carrying a stove on her back, which is kind of hilarious because at one point she like tips over backwards and she's like kicking like a turtle. While he's trying to talk to his brother about it. And his brother's going nuts. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm securing the area, and I've killed this person, and putting bullets in their heads. And so he walks with her up the trail that she always wanted to walk up, and he gets her up there and shoots her in the head. And he cries about it. He's, oh, he's so distraught. I can't do this. I can't do this. And she's like, the whole time she's just going, like, trying to bite him and stuff. So he shoots her in the head, and she tumbles down, which is also funny because you're watching her still strapped to the stove tumble down a mountain. And then all the zombies go away. Like, they all die because she died.
Huh. That's weird.
It's really weird. And I don't recommend it at all. Like,
yeah, I'm going to pass.
Yeah. The other movie that I watched was Extinction, the one that I had said that I really wanted to watch.
How was it?
It was good. That one, I'm going to say you should watch. And I'm not going to say anything else about it. Yeah. Some of the production is bad. Like, some of the CGI is terrible. But it was really good, and it's open for a sequel. And I really liked the way that it turned out.
So, I do want to watch that.
So, yeah, awesome. That I'm selling that one, everybody. Check out Extinction.
Okay.
Did you watch any good trailers this week?
I watched a couple trailers.
Okay.
I watched one called Better Watch Out. Watch that one?
I did not.
Okay. On a quiet suburban street, a babysitter must defend a 12-year-old boy from intruders, only to discover it's far from a normal home invasion.
I'm betting it's Santa Claus.
No, it's not.
Oh.
It does take place at Christmas. It's an hour and a half. It's a comedy, crime, horror is what they...
Oh. I like the comedy
genre of it.
Yep.
Watch the trailer.
Okay.
It looks good. Allegedly, a 17-year-old is babysitting a 12-year-old while his parents grow. Hi, he's 12. Just stay home alone.
Right.
But he has a crush on her, of course. And then there's some, like, home invader issues. Not, like, Home Alone style.
No, like, I'm thinking this sounds like The Babysitter on Netflix.
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's worth watching.
Okay. What else?
I watched a trailer for 8th Grade. Did you see that?
Nope.
Just a girl, 14-year-old girl in 8th grade and the troubles and problems that she goes through. It's like a coming-of-age type movie. You know what I mean? It looks solid. Just watch the trailer.
All right.
And then I watched a trailer called Triple Threat.
Nope.
And it's a upcoming action thriller film.
Okay.
And I'm watching the trailer, and I'm just like, oh, that's Tony Jaa. That's pretty sweet.
Oh.
Oh, hey, that's Iko Uwais. That's friggin' awesome. Oh, that's Scott Atkins. Oh, it's Michael Jai White. Hey, that's Michael Bisping. You know, so it's got a B-movie cast people like Scott Atkins. And then it's got Tony Jaa, who's awesome but hasn't been able to break out here yet.
Right.
And then Iko Uwais, who... I think he's going to be the next big, like, Jackie Chan type star here in America. Mm. He's starting to get his feet wet in some movies. He was, what's the one he was just, he's in Mile 22, the one with Mark Wahlberg. He's like the star in that. But he's been in a few American films lately. Anyways, he was in The Raid Redemption,
yep.
1 and 2, and then that Morentu or whatever. And then he was in the Netflix flick about the shitty sequel. Well, it was the sequel to the, like, 10 years later with the aliens, and they pull people up with the light. I can't think of it. Anyways, it was a Netflix original sequel.
Okay.
Regardless, so it says here, a crime syndicate places a hit on a billionaire's daughter, making her the target of an elite assassin squad, and a small band of down-and-out mercenaries protect her, fighting tooth and nail to stop the assassins from reaching their target.
Hmm.
And I believe the Down and Out Mercenaries are going to be Tony Jaa, Iko Uwais, and Tiger Chen. And then Scott Atkins, Michael Jai White, and Michael Bisping, they're the elite assassin squad, I would assume. Looks great, in my opinion. I don't think it's an American film, but it's an English film, I guess. I don't know who the production company is, but like the director is a Jesse V. Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that you would probably know of that he directed. As I'm looking at the list of movies here. But I don't know. It looks great, and I like Tony Jaa and Iko Uwais, so to me, it's exciting. That's it. I'm done.
I watched a trailer for Lizzie today.
Oh, I did watch that with Chloe Sevigny.
Yeah.
I didn't bring it up because it looked like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're trying to take the Lizzie Borden, took an axe and gave her mother 40 wax or...
Yeah, and it's something. Like they updated it to, like, I don't know, 40 years after it happened or something like that, I think.
I got the impression that this was what drove her to kill him because, you know, he molested Kristen Stewart.
Well, that's
like anybody would want to.
That's his stepmother. That's her stepmother.
Oh.
That's his wife.
Oh.
But yeah, he accosted her first, you know, and then forced her to marry him. And then,
yeah. And then they formed a lesbian relationship.
Yeah, it looks like garbage.
It does.
That's why I didn't bring it up.
Constantine City of Demons, the next Marvel DC animated show. Movie.
Well, they've already released like 5 episodes a long time ago, and I watched those and talked about them on here.
Constantine City of Demons?
Yeah. Well, on the CWC?
Oh, maybe this is them finally putting those episodes into a movie.
Oh.
This is supposed to be out on Blu-ray.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that came out on the CWC, except it wasn't...
They were little mini-episodes, right?
Yeah. They were like 10 minutes long each, but there's only like 5 of them.
Right.
And it didn't tell the whole story.
Oh.
It was like more episodes had to come out. Anyways.
Well, that must be what this is.
Yeah.
You didn't watch the Venom trailer this week? No.
I saw all the spoofs on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to see this movie.
Yeah, there's 5 episodes of that Constantine City of Demons, and they're 6 to 7 minutes long each. They're releasing that on DVD?
That's the commercial I saw.
Dude, that is so not worth it. Unless they put some more in there.
It looked pretty cool, but no, it does.
But I watched that, and it's literally like 5 episodes at 6 or 7 minutes apiece. It's like an episode, 45 minutes long.
Like in one of the scenes, he was like stroking the floor,
story.
And he was like, you know, I welcome you to this house. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good.
Yep.
It just wasn't.
It was free online, and now they're going to
charge. Every time you get into it, it's like, oh, dude, it's closing credits. Oh, here's the opening credits.
It's like Netflix's Castlevania series thing.
Yeah. So it's just, it needs to be more. Okay. It says here, there's 7 more episodes that are supposed to come out.
Oh, wow.
As well as a DVD and Blu-ray release featuring 20 minutes of extra footage, similar to Vixen, the movie. The feature-length version is set to release on Blu-ray on October 9th. But they still haven't released all the episodes yet. I mean, if it was all one link, one together, it would be cool, I think. So, anyways. Cool.
The one trailer that I saw this week that I'm actually really excited for.
Okay.
The Good Cop. Have you seen trailers for this?
Nope.
This is the brief synopsis.
Okay.
A disgraced former NYPD officer lives with his son, an earnest, obsessively honest NYPD detective. Eh, whatever. But the son is Josh Groban.
Oh, I like him.
The father spent the past 7 years in jail for being a crooked cop, and now he's out.
Yep.
And everyone loved him. He was a great guy, you know. Everyone loves the crooked cop, you know, because he's everybody's friend and he greases the pockets. It's Tony Danza.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this a TV? Is this a movie or TV
series?
It's
a TV series, and I think it's coming on Netflix. I got to double check. But, yeah.
Tony Danza hasn't done anything in a long time.
It looks like a riot. Because he's, you know, it's a comedy. And he's trying to be the good father. You know, he's like, hey, don't worry. I got you the opportunity to go up and speak at this thing you're going to tonight. He goes, it's the ethics committee meeting. And he goes, yeah, I got you up on the stage. How did you get me up on the stage? Well, I convinced a guy to let you up there. He goes, did you bribe somebody? I gave him $50. To an ethics person. So, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be fun.
September 21st, Netflix. That's awesome.
Yep. That one I'm
looking
forward
to that. Yeah. I'll have to find that trailer.
Saw some neat news this week that I'll end on. I don't know how much of this you had heard, but, you know, stop me if I'm going over. Altered Carbon Season 2 is coming back.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
And it's going to be Anthony Mackie, Falcon.
Oh, yeah.
As Takeshi Kovacs.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
This will be his new sleeve.
I could get into that.
Yeah. I like the first season. Like, some people didn't like it.
I thought it was good.
Okay, this is interesting. So, you remember last week when we were talking about how Supergirl is going to have the first trans character in there?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, my friend Sam, who works up at GameStop, sent me a message because he listened to the podcast and actually shared the link on his Facebook page. He goes, hey, for what it's worth, I know her brother. I'm friends with him. And I've met her. And, yes, she really is trans.
Oh.
I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. I said, well, good for her. So, yeah. So that was – we had asked about that.
So the actress who's playing the character really is trans?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yep. So
I actually like that as opposed to someone not.
Right, exactly. Also, I'm going to give you this one. Sam said, and for what it's worth, I know you don't want to hear this. I said, okay, go ahead. He goes, but some of the best TV that I've seen this year was Queer Eye.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing.
He's like, so I agree with Mike. It was awesome.
It was awesome. Like, yeah. Like, there's actually, I found out not on, like, okay, I can't access it via Roku on my, I mean, via Netflix on my Roku player or on my tablet, but on my phone, if I look at it,
yeah.
I can click on Queer Eye, I can go to extras, and there's a whole extra episode of them in Australia that they did. And,
really?
And some other bonus footage. So I'm kind of wondering, like, how many other things, like, on Netflix have extras that I can't access through Roku or on my tablet, how I typically watch. Queer Eye was great. I can't get over how good it was.
AMC just picked up a show from Jason Segel called Dispatches from Elsewhere.
Huh.
It says it'll feature elements across multiple platforms. It's about a group of ordinary people who stumble onto a puzzle hiding just behind the veil of everyday life. They'll come to find that the mystery winds far deeper than they ever imagined.
Hmm.
Jason Segel.
It's Jason Segel. I'll give it a try.
Yeah. We already covered Timeless. They're doing a reboot of ALF.
Really?
ALF. Alien Life Form. Gordon Shumway.
Like that?
They're doing a reboot.
Okay.
I have no idea why. I don't want to know why. I don't want them to do it.
No.
On a better note, though, Andy Serkis.
Yes.
You know him. Famous mocap actor.
Familiar.
He sold two different things to Netflix. One is a Mowgli show about Mowgli, you know, from the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
So it's his own take on the Jungle Book. Even more interesting, though, his own version of Animal Farm.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm interested in that. I love that book.
In that, yeah.
Okay. Stephen Moffat
is
going to be adapting The Time Traveler's Wife for HBO as a TV series.
Really?
Time Traveler's Wife focuses on a woman who meets the love of her life at different points in her life because he's constantly time traveling.
Yeah.
Like Doctor Who.
Right.
So, you know, she progresses normally through life. He meets up with her at different points in his
time. And he pops in and out, yeah.
So it's going to be a TV series on HBO with Stephen Moffat running it.
That's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that.
They just announced this tonight, just before I came over here. CBS All Access is going to be creating another show that is going to focus on the life of Jean-Luc Picard 20 years after Nemesis.
Okay, so, all right, I heard about him being Jean-Luc Picard again. I read his statement today about how he thought after 2002 he was all done playing the character. He had moved on, and to see if they could do this. I heard about, like, maybe Discovery Season 2 he was going to be in it somehow, but no, it's its own show.
It's its own show.
See, that may make me spend money on CBS
All Access. I said the same thing. It's friggin' Jean-Luc Picard again.
Jean-Luc Picard,
20 years after.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, he'll be a background character. This is about him.
Ooh, they just got my money.
I may have to put down money for this.
They just got my money.
I was so excited about that. Meringue sent me that, and he's just like losing. Star Trek fans are losing their minds. I'm like, I bet they are.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard that. That's pretty awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Dude, that's... Wow. Yeah. I didn't want to spend money on CBS All Access or Star Trek Discovery. It's
I had heard some good things about the first season, and then the second season's coming.
Yeah, but whatever. Orville was just amazing.
Yes.
So, but man, a Jean-Luc Picard series?
Yeah. With Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart, I mean, Jean-Luc Picard. 20 years later, so it's realistically as far as he's... You know,
and you know they're going to bring in, like, Brent Spiner and...
Jonathan Frakes.
Absolutely.
And,
Yeah.
When's that coming out?
They said 2019, probably. So.
Well, CBS All Access, well played.
Well played indeed.
You know, you have found an established character I will pay money to watch.
Two things left. One is going to be they gave a rundown of Sean William Scott's character for Lethal Weapon.
I think Rude read that to me earlier this week, and I just kind of went, oh, it's Riggs-like. Cool.
Kind of. Apparently, they're basing it on this story that one of the directors and producers had read about a CIA agent who came back and didn't want to be the Riggs type person. He wanted to be the person who was cool, calm, and collected, and went into situations and, you know, assessed them and analyzed, and then things always went shit around him anyway.
Yeah.
But he has a wife. He's met her twice in emergency rooms. The first time he met her in an emergency room, he was getting patched up, or it might have been field hospital or something, but he was getting patched up. And then years later, as he's coming to the end of his tour, he ends up back in her emergency room, and she's like, oh, hey, it's you. And they've formed a bond, and they have a loving relationship. And so it's going to be very different from Riggs in that respect. I'm looking forward to it.
But it's not Lethal Weapon.
I understand that.
It's not Lethal Weapon.
They'll find a way. The last thing that I have, and I'm assuming you saw this, September 27th. Seriously? September 27th, 2018, one night only, in theaters, Transformers the movie.
No!
Yes. Transformers the animated movie.
That is a Thursday. I'm off that night. Because I'm looking at it because I'm off on the 20th and 21st because Limitless Wrestling is on the 21st.
Yeah.
And then if you go 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm off on Wednesday the 26th and Thursday the 27th. High five me now. Is that a Fathom event or something?
I don't know if it's going to be a Fathom event.
Where are we
going to
see it?
Just said, we're either going to see it in Brunswick or we're going to see it at any theater that shows it. But we're going to see it. Petrie's on board. My sister's on board.
Dude, we're going. We're going.
We're fucking going.
Yeah, I can't
Saw it in theaters.
I didn't either. I was seven. The sheer number of times I've seen that movie.
I know. Pretty much quote it.
God, I'm going to freak out.
I saw that, and I was just... Because it said, one night
you're
only,
the
best Transformers movie is in theaters. And it showed, like, the robotic Michael Bay ones, and I'm like, oh, come on, that's garbage. And then it said, the only Transformers movie that ever mattered, 1986's, and I'm like, come on!
That's awesome. To the internet. To find out more about it.
So, yeah, we are definitely going to see that.
That's a must-go to see.
Yep. I can't believe you hadn't seen that, man.
No. Where'd you read that?
Multiple different places. Coming Soon, comic book.
You know, I think I got rid of a lot of those on my Facebook feed.
Oh. I don't do Facebook. I do Feedly.
What's Feedly?
Feedly is an RSS organizer. So basically you just plug into stuff like comic book or whatever, and then you could scroll down through and pick the ones that you want to read, and the ones that you don't, you just scroll right by them. So it's not like Facebook. It's curated by what you want to see. It's a good feed reader.
No, see, I kind of got rid of all that stuff because I didn't want it showing up in my feed the whole time, and spoilers, like going to see movies.
I still do have problems with that sometimes.
Yeah. It is a Fathom event.
So
tickets go on sale tomorrow.
Oh, is it tomorrow? Wow.
That's what it says.
I can't imagine that it's going to sell out. I mean, we thought that Doctor Who was going to sell out.
Well, I don't know. This is different. There was a lot of old people there, though. Holy shit.
Yeah.
There it is. Boom. There it is. Transformers, the movie event. Yeah, I'm doing it right now. Haven't even hit pause yet.
I am so excited about this. I never got a chance to see it as a kid in the theater because my dad was so anti-theater. You know, oh, you're spending all that money. We could just wait until it comes out on video and rent it.
The closest that's showing is Lowell, Massachusetts.
You just wait. It'll be showing in Brunswick.
I hope so. It's showing at a bunch of places in Mass.
It'll be showing in Brunswick.
Rhode Island. But yeah, it's not showing. It's not as of right now.
By the way, did you also see the picture of Linda Hamilton?
I did see that from the new Terminator film. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Transformers, the movie event, theater locations.
So anyway, I think that's our show for the week.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is our show for the week.
We filled up some time in the airwaves and stuff.
Ended on the biggest note possibly good this
some
week.
Really good notes, you know, but
that's
yeah.
Awesome. I'm Transformers so excited, the movie. Man. Transformers the movie.
Yep.
The original, the best, the only one that matters.
You get the touch. Oh, yeah.
So we're at Rhode Island Comic Con. We're up there, and I think it's called Sky High was the band. And, like, you guys got any requests? I went, yeah, I want to hear The Touch by Stan Bush. And they go, oh, we can't play that one. What do you mean? You said anything. That's comic related like that, you know. No, we just can't. Anything else you want to hear? Yeah. Dare by Stan Bush. Dude, come on, help me. Fine, I want to hear the theme to Mask. They played it. So. That's awesome. That's so awesome. Cool. All right, well, that's it.
That's all.
That's the show.
Yep.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, find us on Twitter.
I'm Superstar Mo.
I'm at the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks.
Talk to you next week.